Well, not far from the Capitol, there is another important meeting going on at the Federal Reserve today. It is a two-day meeting that will end with a closely watched announcement tomorrow, and it'll give us some more details about the Fed's plans to end its bond-buying economic stimulus program known as quantitative easing. It was put in place about 6 years ago to prop up a collapsing U.S. economy, but as soon as next month, the Fed is expected to stop pumping billions of dollars a month into the economy. So what does that mean for all of us? Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She's with us from WBEZ in Chicago. Diane, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Well, and what are you expecting from the Fed tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow the job of the chair's job is to really lay out the argument for gradualism. The Fed is moving from providing a lot of stimulus to the U.S. economy to still stimulating the U.S. economy. They expect to continue to keep their balance sheet constant. So anything that matures off their balance sheet, they're going to fill it up and buy again to keep their balance sheet constant at a very high level, about $4.5 trillion. It's amazing how we jumped from B's to T's over the last 6 years. But, you know, to keep that balance sheet constant and then begin the process in thinking about how they exit, their exit strategy, which is to gradually, and I underscore, slowly, gradually raise rates. Now, not everybody on the Fed has agreed about that, but the core of the Fed that supports Chair Yellen, is there. The majority of the Fed is there. We'll hear some noise from people who would like to do it sooner. The Federal Reserve is really sort of, they're in a position where there's been a lot of examples historically of central banks coming out of a financial crisis and moving too soon. And they've seen the disasters from that. So they're trying to get the lessons from history and hedge the downside. What they don't know is what happens if they move too slow. They think the risk of that is less than the risk of maybe pushing the U.S. economy back into a recession, which
but of
is
course,
not what they want to call
it. Well, there's no precedent for winding down something like this. Should Americans be concerned that they might be sent back into a recession if the Fed pulls out too quickly?
I think this Fed is really going to be cautious to not pull out too quickly, and that's what the Americans should be reassured that the Fed is concerned about that, and certainly that's where they're hedging their bets. That said, this is a difficult time, and we're in uncharted territory, and the Fed's trying to avoid the thin ice, but how do you know if you're avoiding the thin ice or not if it's covered up with snow? We just don't know. And so the uncertainty going forward, and that's why the Fed's treading so carefully in this process, is because they are worried, they don't want to make the wrong decision. They don't want to make the wrong decision for the economy, for the American public. And they really, there is a sense within the core of the Fed, and there are some people who don't agree with this, but the majority of the Fed really believes not only do we need to get back to where we were on sort of aggregate measures, but we need catch up here. And, you know, the aggregates cover what the majority of Americans are feeling, and that is that they're more confident than they were during the crisis, but they've lost ground. The majority of Americans have lost income relative to where they were prior to the crisis. The majority of Americans have less net worth than they did prior to the crisis. These are the things that the Fed is trying to sort of look at and say, can we allow a little catch up as well?
Well, and this is not happening in a vacuum. As we just heard a few moments ago, there's a hearing on Capitol Hill today about the president's plan to combat ISIS. We've got the situation in Ukraine continuing. What do you see as the biggest risks to the economy right now?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that I think are important. Geopolitical risks are, of course, number one. The situation in the Ukraine, although somewhat quiet, we know that it flares at any moment. And what does it mean for the rest of Europe? Europe is struggling, really. And Germany, although is the stronger performing economy, has some underlying weakness as well. And so can Europe get out of this? This is very important. This is all at the same time that we're looking at. Last year, we saw what we call the taper tantrum. Interest rates went up when the Fed was just thinking about doing what they're going to do in October. And in response to that, the housing market is still not back to where it was a year ago. And that's something the Fed really sort of, that not only do we have these external shocks where the rest of the world is still precarious with geopolitical and economic risks, but also the internal fragility. We have some self-sustaining momentum, but it's not broad-based. It's incredibly uneven. And the interest rate sensitivity that you'd think interest rates as low as they are today, and they've come back down, that the housing market isn't even where it was a year ago. That shows the Federal Reserve that there's still some underlying problems with the U.S. economy and a lot of healing to go.
And we should be clear, by the way, that the Fed has two mandates. They're concerned about inflation and they're concerned about employment. They're going for full employment. What is full employment, do you think, in 2014? What are they aiming for right now, Diane?
You know, the goal of the Fed, because the overall unemployment rate no longer is a great summary measure because a lot of people have just dropped out or given up or need to be reengaged. A lot of those are younger people who can't afford to stay out forever, and they're going to come back. With the Federal Reserve, the bottom line is wage gains. Janet Yellen, at the end of the day, if you want one statistic that she's going to be watching, it's wages. We need to see an acceleration in wages, and we need to see an acceleration in wages that actually feeds a little inflation, because right now they're running a little cool on inflation too. And they'd even be willing to have the economy run a little hotter than it has been, because it's been undershooting inflation for a while, if it meant more catch up for people to actually earn a little more. And, you know, we're not talking about runaway inflation. We're talking about the Fed sort of allowing the economy to let the party get going, finally. I mean, this is a Fed that wants to spike the punch and pay the band extra and get more people out on the economic dance floor participating in this economy rather than on the sidelines.
And Robin just started dancing over on the other side of the studio here.
Spiking the punch.
Diane Swong, chief economist at Mesirow Financial. Thanks so much.
Thank you.